Hello and welcome to Talk Spooky to Me, the Ghost Story Guys mail show. I'm Brennan Storr.
I'm Paul Bestel.
And this is our chance to hear from you, our listeners. Paul, my friend, we actually have email this time. There's no guest, no fancery. It's just you, me, and some listener mail. It's been a while.
It has. And Mr. Wiggles is still inside me.
So we should provide some immediate context for that statement so no one turns off their podcast player.
Yeah, I had a weird like 2-day virus thing. Laid me out. Very odd.
Yeah, you've had a rough go of it lately.
Yeah. That's right. Typical. My back gets fine and then I get possessed by Mr. Wiggles for 2 days.
For our listeners who don't know what the fuck we're talking about, Mr. Wiggles is the demonic character from Late Night with the Devil that both Paul and I have seen now and adored.
Yes. I was delighted with it. The last act had me sat there with my mouth open for the entirety of it. I'm glad we had a bottle of wine to share during the screening because I'm not sure my nerves could have taken it sober.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that. I saw Immaculate recently, which was pretty good. And I think that's it for new. Actually, I will say I signed up again for a trial of the Arrow streaming app, which I've had before. It's not worth me paying $5 a month just because I quite often don't use it. But if you sign up using a bunch of different email addresses, you can have as many free trials as you want. And so I signed up for another free trial, and I watched a couple short films. And the one I wanted to mention, folks, and again, you can get a free trial to Arrow Streaming. It's an Irish short film called Terrible Things. And it's only 10 minutes long, maybe 9 minutes long. It's got one cast member, but it is haunting. It is haunting. It's set in this sort of post-apocalyptic supernatural future. It's a little bit like the game Death Stranding, except it makes more sense, and it doesn't take a very long time to get through it. but anyway, so it's called Terrible Things. It's on the Arrow streaming app. It's, again, like 9 minutes long. You might even be able to find it on YouTube. Either way, it's worth your time. All right, that's enough movie chatter for now. I'm sure there'll be more after the break. But it is time to check the mail.
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you.
First up is from Vince. I was listening to your Mysteries in the Mist episode on the 5th of March, and the story regarding Brennan's friend's girlfriend had me laughing out loud. As an Italian-American, I love the leap of logic that eating too much pasta would give somebody a bad temper. If anything, I get more of a temper when there is a lack of pasta.
You and me both.
As I sat laughing at my desk, I thought of what a pasta to anger scale would look like, and I came up with the following list that ranges from a little mad to completely pissed off. Madiacotti, Angriolotti, Ferrapuccini, Furiosilli, Lividaguini, Ragioli, and Cavatapapist.
Cavatapist.
Cafetapist. Thanks again for a great show. There's always something interesting to discover about the supernatural, folklore legends, and their historical, social, cultural contexts. I really appreciate how you present and structure all of it together. It helps provide a richer listening experience, gives me a lot to think about, and provides more opportunities to learn about fun subjects. Sauce Sealy. Vince.
Oh, Vince, you make my terrible Italian heart proud. Thank you very much. This is where I have to admit, I had never heard of cavatappi until I started getting those boxes from Factor, because quite often they'll use that.
I like fusilli. I like the spiraliness of it.
Fusilli is good. Yep. Rotini is nice. I'm not big on lasagna. I'm not a huge lasagna fan. I mean, if it's well made, different. But I just very rarely do you get well-made lasagna.
Yes, there's a certain knack to it. I think you've got to have secret ingredients in it to give it that little bit of a oomph.
Yeah, yeah. That's otherwise it's basically just Chicago pizza.
It's heavy.
Actually, my mom makes. I haven't had it in I think years now, but she makes a baked rigatoni that is exceptional, just covered with sausage. Anyways, we're getting way off the. You hit me on a very sensitive place here, Vince, talking about pasta. Next up is from June. June says, I was listening to your Mysteries in the Mist episode and the love you were giving Black Labs. I wanted to add my own Black Lab story that I think you guys would love. I used to work for an airport. I was one of the grunts outside who worked for a company that would get various jobs assigned to them by the airport authority. One summer, the airport decided to deplane in the middle of the apron and be picked up by my company, who drove large commercial buses. At the start of the day, before we picked up any passengers, the bus had to get checked out by a bomb-sniffing dog. Cue Einstein, the bomb-sniffing black lab. There were a couple dogs, like another who was named Diesel and was a black German shepherd, but my favorite was Einstein. He was friendly, lovable, and incredibly good at sniffing for bombs. They trained him that if he found a bomb, aka the chemicals that make up a bomb, he would signal and then get his favorite toy in the entire world as a reward. But, bless his heart, he would get depressed if too much time went by and he didn't find a bomb to get his toy. Or more hilarious, eventually he'd just fake a bomb to get his toy. Can you imagine a bored, depressed black lab deciding Joe Schmo has a bomb because it has been too long since he last has to play with Mr. Squeaky? Of course, the handlers are very aware of Einstein's antics and made sure to plant fake bombs on the bus every once in a while after he's already cleared it for the day. No matter how small the bomb or whatever clever place they placed it in, even the roof, he'd find that bomb and get his toy. It made my day every time.
Clever boy.
He sure is. I'm a fan. Einstein, it seems like an apt name. He was a very clever dog.
Fabulous. I do like that. The fear that people must have gone through if the dog came up to them. Nervous enough about flying anywhere, and then all of a sudden they get nosed out as a potential bomb carrier.
Terrifying.
just because Einstein wants his toy.
Just give the damn dog his toy, guys. Give him his toy. Oh, man. Sadly, my black lab friend, as I mentioned to you off air, I'm 90% sure that my neighbor has rehomed him. It's a bummer. I used to really look forward to seeing him out in the back when I would I'd go out to the car, and yeah, I'd spend like 10 minutes or so, 20 minutes kind of playing with him. And I was trying to talk the neighbor into let me take him for walks and shit, but I am pretty sure he's been rehomed, because the neighbor for about 3 weeks I didn't see the dog, and he's been avoiding me. The neighbor has been like, seems like he was actively avoiding me, and then I think it was yesterday he tried to come to speak to me, but I was on the phone to Nick, so we didn't get a chance to talk. But again, I'm pretty sure. So very disappointing. I was enjoying hanging out with my little buddy, but so it goes. Hopefully he's ended up somewhere with someone who can pay more attention to him, which I think is what he needed.
Yes, we met a black Labrador in the woods on Tuesday, where I finally discovered the mysterious grave that I've not been able to find in the wood.
So you found a mysterious grave. Then you got sick.
Yes, I found a grave almost as old as the United States of America. It was a collier, which were people that were employed. Basically, people were employed to burn stuff. And they would live next to this burning pile of detritus until it went out. And unfortunately, this particular chap, George Yardley, apparently had a good night on the beer. And the fire spread, and unfortunately he didn't wake up and he burnt to death. I think that happened in 1786. There's a grave fenced off in the woods where he was. So he was buried next to where he died.
Oh, shit.
In the middle of the woods. And then there's a sign telling about what those people did and why he died.
What a nightmarish way to go.
Yeah. It's a weird gravestone as well, because it's got the names of the three people that paid for his burial on it, which I've not seen very often.
This death brought to you by.
Presented by, one of them was the local landlord, so he may have felt a bit guilty of getting him pissed.
Honestly, my landlord's not going to pay to bury me, so I guess I should be more complimentary about this guy.
Definitely. Next up, Dominic says, Hadley is one spooky place. I walked there on a whim when I was 16, and it took me 7 hours without a map. I just headed for the horizon. It took 30 minutes to get back by bus. Lol. Wanderlust drew me there. Anyway, what's your problem with Nick Pope? I have my own issues. Is that for you or me? I wonder.
Yeah, that's a tough call. If they ask, why are you mad at God? Then they're probably talking to me. But if it's what's your beef with a specific person in the UFO field? I would say dollars to donuts. They're not talking to Uncle Brent.
I don't have time for people who misrepresent and create a false narrative about their perceived career in the Ministry of Defence and have basically dined out claiming to have done things that they didn't do, which is a provable fact. There's no disputing it.
Or is that what they want you to believe?
Essentially, you know, end of day, he was just a secretary who took calls and passed them to other people. He didn't investigate anything. Didn't do any of that. I mean, if you can be asked to spend the time going on YouTube and looking for interviews from the sort of mid-90s onwards, it's quite clear. But, like, I've seen him on certain American television shows using her military rank.
Oh.
Because you can officially use a military rank. If you work for the Ministry of Defence, depending on which department you're in, you are essentially a military rank despite not seeing any active service. His comparative rank was Commander, and I have seen him introduced on television shows as Commander Nick Pope from the Ministry of Defence's UFO department. None of that statement, apart from his name, is correct.
Now, if you can just start calling yourselves Commander, I'm doing that. Commander Store. I like it. I look like I might have something and might have been official at some point in my life before something terrible, before the incident and my personal life just slid off the table. That's kind of how I look. People would buy it.
Yes. After the Quatermass incident.
That works. Yeah. I was going to say I just got caught banging a secretary or something, but I like yours better.
Well, it depends which version of Quatermass you see. Not if you get turned into some kind of space giant goo monster that lives in a nuclear reactor.
I mean, maybe goo monster's got swag. I feel like we can't rule it out that he was banging someone in the utility closet at work. Actually, Nick, she used to work for this. I have to be careful. So there was a place where Nick used to work where someone was actually caught getting off in the utility, actually in the copier room. This couple who were married, not to each other, got busted in the copier room. If anyone remembers the 90s, making copies.
Who do they think they are? Boris Becker?
I know, right? The barefaced cheek.
Literally.
Can you explain that joke to our listeners, Paul?
Yes, Becker, amongst being a convicted fraudster and one of my least liked tennis players ever, also ended up paying large amounts of maintenance to a waitress that he had sex with in a broom cupboard at a restaurant that just took his fancy, and he denied it for years. But he basically got her pregnant and then just denied it for a decade, I think. And then they had to have a paternity test, and it all came out that he just basically had a 30-second shufti in a cupboard with her, went back to his creme brulee.
That's so sad. I mean, you know, like, consenting adults can do whatever consenting adults want to do. But then you have a kid and you're like, no, that didn't happen. I mean, don't worry. I would also want to deny that the child I had from a 30-second, oh, baby, I swear this never happened to me before, in a restaurant broom closet wasn't mine. I wouldn't want to admit to that. But you got responsibilities.
Always used to annoy me. He was always described on the BBC's tennis coverage as Britain's favourite German, which is never, not in my top 100 Germans. And also makes up for him cheating Andre Agassi in the Wimbledon 1995 semi-final.
A wound that will never heal.
No. I have lots of illogical sporting dislikes.
It seems wholly logical to me.
He's no Steffi Graf. There's a good German. Not like Boris.
Let's not dwell too much on the notion of good Germans, hey?
There's lots and lots of them.
I feel like the term good German just has not a great, yeah, the real zone of interest vibe going on there. Next up, we have another comment from Spotify. And if you listen to us on Spotify, one, hello. And two, we would love if you would rate the show. I know quite a few of you have, but if you listen on Spotify, 5 stars is very, very helpful. We're trying to increase our reach over there on Spotify because we get most of our stuff from Apple Podcasts, and they're fine. We have no problem with them. But hey, there's a shitload of people on Spotify, and we would love them to be listening to the Ghost Story guys. So this one's from Jamie. Jamie says, "Oh, this is a nice quick one. Love you guys. Okay, BC drunk response. Next will be a sloppy hug and a kiss. Lol. Hey, Jamie. Thank you.
You're my bestest friend, sir. Love you.
What he said. That was me the other night. I was at the pub.
Yes. Well, I can't say much. We went for a drink after the film on Sunday, and I don't remember getting in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, good night.
Oh, so you went for a drink, but it was not just one.
Well, we went for one, and then we thought, oh, well, we'll go somewhere else. So we went somewhere else, and then we ended up having loads of baby Guinnesses.
Oh, what's a baby Guinness?
It is Tia Maria topped with Baileys in a shot glass.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think we had about 10 each.
Oh, man.
And about 6 pints. We were dancing. I know that.
Oh, man. So pints of Guinness or...
No. Just shot. We had like pints of beer.
Okay. And then just the shots of baby Guinnesses. Okay. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I went out with a friend of mine about a month ago, and I drank about 6 Guinness. And Ooh. Oh, God. And I mean, I had some tequila too, so that kind of factored into why I felt like shit the next morning. But I genuinely think it was just my body going, why are you making this process 6 pints of fucking Guinness? What is wrong with you?
Good for your iron levels, though.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm essentially Popeye now. Oof. Jesus, that was rough. I was like when you and I were out at that night at the convention. You know, I drank like 10 pints of Guinness. Oh, God, I felt like hell the next day.
Good time.
What was it? You had me drinking something else. Was it Pimm's and lemonade?
No. Martini Rosso and lemonade.
That's it. Martini Rosso and lemonade. That was some good shit. But the next morning, not so good. So, Jamie, what we're saying is we get you and we appreciate it.
Next up, Teresa writes, Hi guys, I'm so glad I found your podcast. Listening to you is a guilty pleasure during work. I have a quick story to tell you about my ex-husband, which was a very odd family experience for us. My ex was on the highway travelling in Arizona, and out of nowhere, the front driver's side tyre blew out. There was a deep ditch running between the westbound and eastbound lanes. The accident sent his truck down into the ditch, rolling the truck sideways 5 times. Something or someone was looking out for him, since the only other vehicle on the road was a lady driving a big rig who had been stuck behind him. She happened to be a retired nurse. She was able to pull him out of the truck, and he literally walked away from it. I drove out to meet him at the hospital. They released him after a few hours, and we started driving home with him in the back seat. All of a sudden, a tyre popped. The tyre directly under my ex. As we got out of the car to change the flat, I looked across to the other lanes going in the opposite way, and down in the ditch between the lanes directly next to us was the leftover wreckage of my ex's truck from a few hours earlier. Possibly dueling forces, one trying to take him and one protecting him. Thanks for reading my ramblings. Keep up the great work. And please continue to promote mental health help. It makes a difference.
Thank you, Teresa. That's incredible.
When is a coincidence too much of a coincidence, as Jim Harold would say?
Yeah, that's... I'm not even going to pretend like I have any idea what would have caused that, but that does not seem like an accident.
Once, fair enough. To happen going the other way at the exact same spot? Something was trying to take him away, I think, there.
Yep, there was... Yeah, something had it out for him. Definitely. That is fate, as my lovely wife says, taking the piss.
I would also stop driving rigs from that point on.
Yep, there is that too. Yep, also this. Also, I can't think of a woman driving a truck without thinking of Large Marge from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Man, Large Marge traumatized me for a long time. Pee-wee was a... No, Jesus, kids. I don't know. Look it on... Check Wikipedia. Just don't look how his career ended.
Stitched up.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I ended up... I don't know when it was. Might have been when he passed away, because he passed away last year, Paul Rubens.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I remember reading something about it, and it all basically came out that somebody from the studio stitched him up.
Yeah, I think I recall reading he was somewhere... Like, he was in a contract negotiation. And he wanted more money because the show was successful. And so they just said, okay, well, you know, fuck you. We'll burn the whole thing down. And, of course, he was busted in an adult theater. But the thing is, guys, and this is, you know, this is Uncle Brennan Paul saying this here. Now, I am not someone who's ever gone to an adult theater, but I understand that the purpose of adult theaters, before you had porn machines in your pocket at the, you know, push of a button, you could have the accumulated filth of the world on your screen in a moment. You had, if you wanted to see these things, to go to a cinema that played them. And you did things there. I know some of you listen with your kids, and I am sorry. I am being as circumspect as I possibly can. But he was arrested for doing those things there very publicly. And again, I don't think there's any other way to interpret that than as a sort of a hatchet job to try and destroy his public profile in retaliation for, you know, daring to ask for his piece of the pie.
Yes. Also, I would recommend if you ever get the chance to watch the weirdly enticing Grace Jones appearing on Pee Wee's show in the 80s, which is one of those bookings where you think, what?
That is the entire phenomenon that was Grace Jones, I find kind of baffling.
Still is.
Is she still around?
Oh, yeah. She still don't give a shit.
I mean, I respect that about her. I respect the fact that she just gives absolutely zero fucks.
Yes.
In fact, I think it's Shudder or Prime in Canada. They just got the movie Vamp.
Yeah, I was going to say, the vampire film that she's in, which is a bit odd as well.
Yeah, I really want to watch it just because it seems like such a strange cultural artifact.
Have you not seen it?
No.
I've seen a lot worse vampire films.
As always, check the show notes at ghostoryguys.com. We will list all the movies and strange shit we talk about, or at least as much of it as I remember to record while I'm editing.
I went through a Grace Jones music period.
She had a music career.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Slave to the Rhythm is a wonderful example of mid-80s synth pop strangeness.
Okay.
Features Ian McShane on it and was produced by Trevor Horn.
The things I learned on this show from you, Paul.
She did two or three albums, late 70s, early 80s. Did a lot of reggae and soul. She kind of saw herself as some kind of chanteuse, as it were. Pull Up to the Bumper is another one she did. She did a couple of, yeah, definitely. Island Life's her greatest hits album. And I recommend there will be at least one or two songs on that particular collection that would get your toes tapping.
All right. Well, again, ghoststoryguys.com. Check the show notes. I'll include, I will include a list of all the albums, songs, movies, things like this that we talk about on these shows.
Slave to the Rhythm is brilliant.
I'm going to listen to it after we record.
Okay.
I still got to listen to that, is it British Public Broadcasting?
Yeah.
I still haven't listened to that yet. I got to do that.
What's going on?
I know. It's my stupid sieve brain.
Take some edibles and put the Race for Space album on in earphones and just lay on your bed in the dark. And
I will absolutely fall asleep.
Message me after an hour and you'll be transcendental.
Okay. All right.
You'll be on Venus.
I can't wait. I'm very excited about this. Next up is from Jim. Jim says, hi, listening to episode 184 on Unseen World. The discussion of curtains and privacy came up. One of our favorite pastimes is to observe people fish bowling. Just at dusk, if we happen to be driving around town, we see folks have their curtains open and lights on. A magical time when you can see into people's houses in excruciating detail, like fish in a fishbowl. Thus, fish bowling. Jim and Zach. Well, guys, I got to tell you, I love it. I have a close friend who very much loves to do this. And I like it too, but I have the added, like, the social awkwardness where I'm a little bit worried they're going to see me, even though I understand most people are not looking outside. But yeah, it's always fascinating to just look at, like, oh, these people are living their lives. Their lives matter just as much to them as mine does to me. Weird. That's a weird feeling. Oh, that's a terrible sofa. Okay.
We've got a British comedian here called Michael McIntyre, who does a sort of entertainment show called Michael McIntyre's Big Show. And one of the segments he's been doing on this particular series is driving around the country to certain cities, and that him and his crew just wander around looking for people to watch his other show, The Wheel. So they're basically looking through people's windows to see if they're watching his program. And if they are, they knock on the door and they go, hello, you're watching my show. Can we come in? And they all come in, and then they do an episode of The Wheel in their front room with star guests, and they can win loads of prizes, and then they just leave.
It's like a delightful home invasion.
So, yeah.
Sounds like one of the better Strangers sequels.
Next up, Ruth writes, last year, during the full moon of July, I had a dream where an older gentleman in a long grey coat and a fedora walked right into my house. Excuse me, I said, this is my house. I don't have time for this. He walks through a door where my dining room is, but there isn't a door there now. I start banging on the door that doesn't exist and demand that he gets out of my house. He comes out and says, "Hm," and then just walks out the door. I woke up, checked the front door, and it was locked, and there was no wall within a door. The first full moon of August, I had another dream. I was having a party, and there was the gentleman in the fedora standing in front of my sideboard. I marched up to him and said, "Excuse me, you were told to leave." "Hm," he says, and leaves. I didn't see him again until last night, which was the first night of February's full moon. I dreamt I was coming into the house with groceries, and there he was coming out. "Oh, come on," I said. "I know." He put on his fedora. "It's your house. I won't be coming back. I've finished what I had to do." And he walked off down the street. Everything was fine this morning until I got into the shower when it hit me. What the hell did he do? I've been searching around the house all day and haven't found anything. What are your thoughts?
That's really interesting, Ruth. What are your thoughts, Paul?
I'd be interested to see if the house has been changed. Has it been remodeled? So where she thought there was a door? Or where he walked through a door? Was a door previously? Has the house been remodeled and moved around? And just because he's done what he needed to do doesn't mean it's anything negative.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
He could have been visiting his ghost pet that he left there.
It's always hard to say with this stuff, right? I mean, if you were talking to your own subconscious, it's possible that whatever function he was performing, you know, maybe there was some kind of subconscious emotional processing that needed to be done. You know, it could be that. And again, if you were sort of speaking to someone outside yourself, like an actually, you know, like an entity that, you know, you keep running into, again, I just think it's entirely possible that whatever he has to do is unrelated to you and your experience. Again, I don't think it's negative at all. I just think this is, I think we tend to view these things as confrontational just because we're territorial, I think, as a species. And I think, obviously, as we've mentioned on this show many times before, I think the media has kind of preloaded us to think of everything as scary. But I don't, it doesn't sound scary at all. Sounds like whatever was going on, Ruth, you may have just allowed someone to accomplish whatever it was they needed to accomplish so they could move on to whatever comes next.
He was certainly listening anyway.
Yeah, that's a bonus. I mean, one of the most harrowing calls I ever heard was on Coast to Coast. And I think it was a more recent one. I don't think it was an Art Bell one. I think it was George Norrie. But some guy called in and, you know, it was George Norrie and some guest. And this guy was genuinely upset. He said, you know, there's an entity in my house and it keeps kicking my bed. You know, he said, I need it to stop because it'll wake me up. This kid will come in and kick my bed. And of course, you know, the guest was some bullshit charlatan. He said, oh, you just need to own your space and all that crap. And that didn't work. You know, he said, like, I've tried that. This thing doesn't listen. And the charlatan said, well, no, he has to listen. Well, no, motherfucker, obviously he doesn't. You know, like, again, I think we've talked about owning your space on the show. And I think that's important when you're dealing with paranormal, when you're dealing with this kind of weird shit. I do think there is a certain amount of power and intention. So I think if you say, no, get the fuck out, this is my space, I don't want you here. Again, I think that's a really powerful thing to do. However, it doesn't work every time. Because if it worked every time, this would all be made up. It would be something, because again, I think if it worked every time, that would say to me, okay, well, this is something happening in my head. If I can just tell it to go away, because there's no other problem in the world. If my landlord comes to my door and goes, hey, where's rent? And I just say, be gone, you know, he's not going to go away.
Composure.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going, I mean, he might go away just because he thinks I'm dangerous, but I still got to pay my rent, right? But if there's something that's troubling you, you know, spirit, whatever, and if everything, every time worked with the power of Christ compels you, then I would be compelled to think maybe this is just something we're imagining. And so I think when they don't respond that way, I think that's interesting, which of course is not applicable to your situation, Ruth, but it's just sort of me noodling on the subject. But that poor fucker, I think about him at least once a week. I wonder whatever happened to that guy.
I mean, it seems more like he's trying to get his attention more than anything else.
That could be. Yeah, that could be. I hadn't considered that.
Might be wanting his help rather than not meaning to frighten him. I mean, end of the day, if it's just kicking his bed and waking him up, then if it really, you know, we've heard countless stories of people being thrown out of their beds and shaken violently by things and terrified. I would suggest on the level of paranormal annoyance, that's pretty lower down.
Kid kicking. Yeah, that's fair. He's just an annoyance poltergeist.
Yeah, it's not like putting a pillar over his head every night, is it?
Which we heard of on this show.
Yes, precisely.
All right, so we have one more letter from Jennifer. Jennifer says, I recently moved and my sassy pants nitpicky blue heeler mix, who is not a morning puppy by any means, started randomly going on morning hunger strikes. She tends to lay in bed for about an hour after I get up and grumble whenever I return to the bedroom and disturb her peace, but it was not like her to refuse breakfast when she finally did grace me with her morning presence. I initially attributed this and other small behavioral changes to her still adjusting to the move, but then I noticed some days she would immediately get up and eat, while others she wouldn't. I listen to the Ghost Story Guys a lot while I'm home. It's always on in the background while I'm cooking, cleaning, and doing random chores. One morning after feeding her and sprinkling her food with the requisite Parmesan cheese, I like your dog. I remembered how she sometimes is sensitive to certain voices. For instance, whenever she hears Donald Trump on TV, she buries her head under the couch pillows, and I'm not even joking. Well, so do I, Jennifer, so I get it. I get it. On this morning, Jennifer goes on, I was listening to an audiobook narrated by a female voice. I thought, well, since I listen to the Ghost Story Guys all the time, maybe she would like that better. I switched to your podcast and immediately heard the telltale thump of her jumping out of bed and the thwackety thwack of her ears as she shook her head. She then took a big stretch as she came out of the bedroom and went straight to her bowl. In all honesty, I was quite the skeptic at first. Must have been a coincidence. But over the last 2 weeks, I've been experimenting, and sure enough, she only eats her breakfast if you two are chatting away in the kitchen. She even prefers your voices to silence. I just thought I'd let you know that your true biggest fan, other than your partners, I'm sure, is my girl Dream. Her devotion is so deep, she goes on hunger strikes in protest if she can't be heralded by the melody of your voices every morning. Also, you can never stop making the podcast now. I cannot bear her wrath. I've attached photos of your number one fan for your enjoyment. Stay spooky. Oh, Dream is adorable, Jennifer. That just made my day.
Yes, well, you know, one of my friends does call me the dog whisperer, so that just conclusively proves it.
There you go. Yeah. So it's the power of Bestel.
Bless. I'm sure she's adorable. Yes. Theo's like that. I mean, he's here as we record these days, and whenever we're recording, he comes in and he just lays on the bed fast asleep.
Oh, I love that. And the cats try like hell to get in the room. Yeah. So, I mean, we must be doing something right. Although I think that's mostly just to piss you off.
Yes. And that only seems to occur on a Thursday when we're doing the main show, not when we're doing Talk Spooky, because she's not bothered tonight at all.
Fascinating. The cat's like, what's the most high pressure time I can annoy dad? What's the one thing they cannot do on any other night and has to be done in that 3-4 hour span?
Strange. Very strange. But, you know, I think people don't credit animals with enough intelligence or maliciousness on that particular cat's part. Because they all have foibles. I mean, one of my old cats many years ago was called Daisy. And she was never bothered about the television unless Blackburn Rovers were playing.
I don't know the Blackburn Rovers.
Well, they're a football team here in the UK, and they wear a sort of half white, half blue kit, which isn't very common in the UK. There's a couple of teams that wear a similar kit, but not exactly the same. So I put it down, it must be the colour pattern that attracted her, because she would watch the television when they were on. Anybody else, she just wouldn't bother. And to be fair, there was a lot of football to watch. And she wouldn't watch any other game unless it would involve Blackburn Rovers.
Okay.
Is it Bluey the dog? The kids show apparently is designed. It's the animation has certain colours that are attractive to dogs. Or have I made that up?
I don't know. It's entirely possible. The only reason I'm even peripherally aware of Bluey is because of the parenting podcast I listen to. But that is my only window into the world of children's television. My niece is aged out of that stuff and... Yeah, just not part of my world.
There's always some weird, strange shit that's put on for children's entertainment. In the Night Garden here, it just was balmy.
What was the Night Garden?
I don't know. I couldn't make sense of it, Brennan. I had no idea what was going on half the time. It's just weird characters making strange noises.
When did it air? Or is it still airing?
I don't know if it was still airing. It certainly was on about 10 years ago.
Fascinating. Well, I've never heard of the Night Garden.
Yeah. It's not to the level of say, the Clangers or Bagpuss.
Yeah, there was some kaleidoscopic horrors in children's television when you were a kid.
Yeah, I mean, the Clangers were great. As I've said many times before, one of the greatest moments of British television was when they found a handbag on the moon. Soup Dragon lived inside the moon.
And on the note of Soup Dragon on the moon, we draw this episode of Talk Spooky to Me to a close. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you to everyone who wrote in or commented on Instagram, Spotify, YouTube, all those places. We try to pull comments from as many places as we can. And again, if you're listening on any of those platforms, always feel free to comment. Spotify, you can comment on the episode-specific Q&A, and we'll publish your comment, and we'll try to read it here on the show. Same thing with, again, YouTube, Instagram, all those places. Paul, my friend, where can everyone find you online?
You can find Mysteries and Monsters across all social media platforms and on all podcast sites.
I'm Largely the Truth on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, and Letterboxd. You can find my other show, Weird Together, on podcast platforms everywhere. And of course, we like to finish Talk Spooky with a musical track. And on this episode, we are going to feature another song from Nakatomi Freefall, who recently joined our label, Night Harvest Recordings. Of course, their latest album, as we mentioned on the last show, is Can't Find the Words, the instrumentals. And this time around, we're going to share the track Lost Souls of Santa Mira. It is the lead-off track from that album, and I think you folks are going to enjoy it. If you like what you hear, make sure to head to nightharvestrecordings.com for more information on Nakatomi Freefall. You can search them out on music streaming platforms everywhere, or you can find more of their work at nakatomifreefall.bandcamp.com. All right, that is going to do it. We will see you next week for episode 186, and until then, we will leave you with Nakatomi Freefall.